Yeah, one of the things I have to do is continue to drink. Particularly hot liquids. So, and with my current eating situation, hot cocoa's out of the menu. So I get some Darjeeling tea for those of you who are Toy Story aficionados. I came across it and I said, Buzz Lightyear was drinking Darjeeling tea. I need to find out what Darjeeling is. It's just tea, just a brand. But it was good. So I began to, when I was talking to the Lord and he started stirring in me about our words, about speaking. I mean, man, he started showing me some things. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm kind of getting this, but how do I get it from up here through here so that you may understand? And so he, with God, you just start. Israel had no idea where they were going. They thought they were going to go this way, and God said, nope, you're going this way. Follow me. I said, I'm going to take you 3 days' journey so that you will get to meet me. They got to the Red Sea, and he said, here I am. So, got to open back up my message. It likes to shut off every time I close that down. So today we're going to start off in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 33. This is really a good scripture to, so many people seem to forget it. But Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers. Anytime you see Jesus talking about vipers or snakes, he is talking about religious people, religious spirits. Every time, he's always addressed the religious people. Same thing with, I was about to say Creepy John, John the Baptist. Those of you who have watched the Chosen, Peter said, you mean Creepy John? Well, if you thought about what he really, I mean, he didn't take baths and was a wild man. He wore a camel hair vest and or poncho and ate grasshoppers and honey. So, brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Not your blood pumping muscle, right? Out of where you store knowledge, where you store the precious things. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. So if you're good in your heart and you have God's word, you will bring forth good word. You will bring forth God's word. Not hate-filled words. Not words bent on destruction. But words that bring life. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that for every idle word men may speak, they will give account of in the day of judgment. I want you to understand, this is Jesus' teaching. This isn't Paul giving his interpretation of what he's read in the law. This is the Messiah, our Savior. So many people say, well, this is before he rose from the dead. This is Old Testament. Hogwash. He's either God and he never changes, or he's not God. They will give account of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Whoa. There we go. A tree is always known by its fruit, whether it's good or bad, not the species of tree. You can go through the woods. That's something years ago I tried to start doing. I was trying to learn what the tree bark looked like, what the leaves looked like, so that I knew, just looking at the tree, what it was. And sometimes I'm right on the money. And other times I still don't know what that tree is. But a tree is only known if it's good or bad. Not every tree is good for fruit. I don't know too many people who eat acorns. Deer love them. Squirrels love them. The squirrels love our butternut hickory in our backyard. that drought, which if you did not know, oak trees and hickory trees love drought. It causes them to produce nuts like crazy. You can't look in my yard and go that far without there being an acorn in the yard. And the squirrels, they're so fat this year. And they're not just fluffed up, they are fat. Because there's probably at least 10,000 nuts in the yard. So I imagine throughout the summer, I'm going to be mowing down lots of little hickory trees. Because I'm not picking them up. So that tree, I can identify it just by that. But I can't tell you if they're good. Now, I will tell you, having tried the fruit of said tree, they are bitter. They are not good for our consumption. But the fruits Jesus was talking about, say an apple tree and a pear tree. Not everybody knows. Well, they look, oh, they're just so hard to tell the difference. Not if you know. Apple trees typically grow round. Pear trees are straight. They grow tall. Leaves look the same, though, don't they? Blooms look the same. The bark looks the same. It's by the fruit that you know the difference between a pear tree and an apple tree. But only by the fruit of a different apple tree will you know what that apple tree produces. I've got a golden delicious tree on one part of my yard, and I had an empire apple tree over here. They look the same. Except one produces these little yellow apples, and this one produced red. Without knowing the fruit, you wouldn't know what the tree was. But some trees aren't good producers of good fruit. Apples, for instance, they're not always great. They might be flavorless. Sometimes it has to do with the growing year. Sometimes it's the tree. Bob and Karen had a transparent apple tree. Man, that thing would get loaded. They had no real flavor to them. I've had some of those transparents through the years. They were so delicious. I mean, just right off the tree. They had I like a Granny Smith. I like a clean, crisp, tart flavor. And those early transparents are supposed to be like that, but sometimes you get a transparent and ain't got no flavor. You mash them up, throw a little cinnamon in them, and a little bit of sugar. You got you some applesauce. They're good for that. So the tree determines how good the fruit's going to be. How's it processing it? Question is, do we emulate our Father? Do we bring life and peace? Do we align our words with His will? The word idle, it means without purpose. Oops. Without purpose or effect. We know the word idle, meaning if your car's sitting out there and it's just sitting there running. But what about our words? What's an idle word? Well, everybody could come up with idle speech. Not that we cannot have conversations about things that are not spiritual. See, there's the ditch on this side. We need to be talking about spiritual things all the time. Listen, I can take everything we talk about and I can bring it back to God. I can. Manufacturing. Building a house. Digging a hole. Jesus did it, did he not? Remember the great pearl of price? He was talking about diving. Who knows what the conversation was going on around him? Somebody understood it. People had to dive to get to those big clams. Oh, what about treasure buried in a field because somebody was plowing and hit a rock that was worth a lot? Everything in our life we can talk about God in. But if we're always trying to bring the conversation to talk about God, we're looking for an argument. That's what we want to do. We want our opinion to be the only one. And the reality is, that's not right. But rather, when we speak about such things, are we pushing for a point of view that only creates argument and discord. Operative word being discord. The flat tire we had this morning. Did we allow it to steal our peace and start whining about why these things happened to us? Why did this happen to me? Of all days, right now, I've got a job interview. This could be great for me. And so you spend the entire time whining and complaining about having to get the jack out. Or I can't get hold of the motor club. Motor clubs have made people lazy. Change your own tire. But did we spend the time, Lord, I thank you. I thank you this didn't blow out when I was driving down the road. I thank you that I don't know why this tire's flat. But maybe you stopped me from getting into the intersection 5 minutes down the road when that guy wasn't paying attention and ran the stop sign. I got behind one day coming off of my road. I was just like, oh man, I'm a little bit behind. So I'm like, I'm about 2 or 3 minutes from where I wanted to be. I wanted to leave earlier. And I get to the end of my road down there where 110, 42, and 93 all meet. It's a weird intersection if you've been on it, because it used to be 42. But you see, there's this thing that happens when people are coming from 42, from Williamsport. They don't like to stop at that stop sign. 93 has the right of way. There's no stop signs. 110 stops. And one day, she had just gone through and I was right behind her. And here come this Jeep Cherokee. It's the second time I had seen him do that. I'd prayed for him the first time, and then I was like, do I call the cops and tell him? Because he did it at the same time. Like, my kids drive through there. My friends go through there. My neighbors go through there. And listen, he was almost airborne. He was going so fast. He had no intentions of stopping. But my being a couple minutes behind kept me from being in that intersection, a couple moments. And it was something stupid. I was like, oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, I wasn't there. And my wife had just gone through that intersection. So my dander got even... Boy, I'm thinking about chasing you down. I ain't going to say that I didn't go looking for his particular vehicle. I still know what it looks like. I drove 110 all the way to 42 looking for him. Don't know what I was going to do if I found him. But idle words. Did we allow those things to steal our peace and start whining about it? Only to later realize that God was there just waiting for us to recognize that he's in control. To give him thanks. Words that are not idle. See, complaining and whining, those are idle words. They don't do anything for you. They're emotional words. I'm going to tell you, if I'm whining? If your nose wrinkles and your lip curls. If you do that, you just whined. God, I just don't tell me you're making that face and say, thank you, Jesus. Because you can't even do that and be real. He may or may not have caused the flat. God does cause flats. But he still wants you to not lose control of your emotions, thus being ruled by something that constantly changes. Our emotions change. Jesse, we've talked to him here, and Mama asked, he said, so how's things? This was back in November. So how's things? He says, I can't tell you. It's a day and night difference between the morale. That was just an election. Ladies and gentlemen, our military is rejoicing. I have an idea. I've got some other roads into what's going on in the military, and it's been bad. Thank God. Thank God. That's over. But we'll be justified by words. Justified means declared righteous before God. If your idle words are going to judge you, you're going to be justified by your other words. Truth. God's word. One of the greatest things, one of the messages I remember hearing years ago, and it just always stuck with me, was about the 10 lepers that Jesus healed. There's even a song about it. They cried out, "Lord, heal us." And he said, "Go show yourself to the high priest." They all went their way, and Jesus, I don't know if he was still in the area right there or what, but one person, one out of 10 came. And Jesus asked him, "Where's the other nine?" He says, "I don't know, Lord." He said, "You've been made whole." Why? Because he came back with words of gratitude. He was thankful. See, I think it's good for people to suffer. You don't know how to be thankful if you've never had to trust God. If you've always had a sugar daddy, we'll say, "Oh, I got in a bind. I'm going to go mommy and daddy, and they're going to bail me out." How are you trusting God? "I ain't got that." You have to always trust God. "Lord, I thank you. I thank you for what you're doing. Lord, I thank you for what's happening in D.C. And bless God, if they want to give me $8,000 or $5,000 come in April, then I bless that and thank you for that. Because it's been 12 years since I've gotten money back." You see, be thankful. "Well, I just don't know." And by the way, being thankful doesn't mean that you can't keep dreaming. I told somebody the other day, I was thinking about getting a different truck. "What do you need a new truck for? None of your dang business. None of your business. You ain't paying for it. Why do I want a new truck? Because God said I could." See, I took hold of something God told somebody, and they turned around and they preached a message on it. "You're a sinner. Listen here. I got a truck. It's 7 different colors. The lug nuts fly off going down the road. It gets 9 miles to the gallon. I still think it's cool. But let's get real. That truck is not going to take me across the country." "Well, I still don't know why you need a new truck." Again, it's none of your business. It's none of your business if God moves me out of my house and puts me in a new one. And understand this, that if I do, me and God, he knows what we're looking for. It's got a minimum of a 10-acre lake. And the house is right close to it, and I don't share the lake. Because I don't want to live in Candlewood. I want my own lake. I don't want to have to keep buying fishing license. Just to not go fishing enough to justify it. So I started thinking, but here's the deal. Somebody asked me, I said, "Would you sell your house?" I said, "If God told me to." But I said, "I'm happy. I love my house." I said, "I don't have the lake, but that's okay. There are lakes I can go to." Condemned by our words. We will be condemned by words as well. Condemned, there's two definitions of it, and I like them both. Sentence to a particular punishment. hellfire and brimstone, right? Two, officially declared unfit. Well, what's that got to do with the Bible? Luke chapter 9, verse 62. It's not going to come up there. Jesus said, any man who has put his hand to the plow and keeps turning back is not fit for the kingdom. Oh, but look, I'm struggling right now and I had it so good. You didn't have diddly squat. You trusted in your riches. When are you going to trust in your God? When you tithe, you're saying, God, I trust you. Because I'm here to tell you, I know people, the people think, oh yeah, they just living high on the hog. They got it. No, they trust God. Are they making a little bit more money? No, probably, because God blesses. He said he blesses without bringing sorrow with it. What is sorrow? Extra work. I had three jobs at one time. That stunk. But God blessed us. We continued to move on and we continued to trust him. Whoops. Okay. Proverbs 12:17. He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. Truth, you're speaking God's word. It is what justifies you. Father, I thank you. I thank you, you took my sins and you don't remember them anymore. Father, I thank you that you're helping me through this. See, a lot of us, we tend to forget that Jesus said it's finished. Anything he needed to do for you was done back then. You need to start thanking him for the manifestation of it. But a lot of times God's trying to get us to realize something, a character flaw in us. Many times, I mean, I don't know, maybe this thing with my throat, maybe there's something I'm overlooking. I don't know. The only thing I do know is when I stand up here to preach, it clears up enough to preach. I'll go home. I'll get up in the morning. Everybody calls me first thing in the morning. Oh, I'm sorry, did I wake you? No, I've been up for 2 hours. If we speak God's word, we're declaring his righteousness. I'm not a poet, so I don't get poetic with it. If you got a gift for poetry, you can do that. If you got a gift for songs, you can do that. I don't have that. But a false witness. There's a couple words right there. False witness. Now everybody's going to say, yeah, you're splitting hairs, brother. One of the Ten Commandments, it doesn't actually say lie. It says, thou shalt not bear false witness. That means I'm not supposed to go off telling lies on Monica. Oh, she did this. I don't know if she did or not. That's why we absolutely take it. But what if bearing a false witness is me telling Monica garbage that I'm saying is God's word? What if that's what being a false witness really is? Is taking the very word of God, the word that created our heavens and our universe, and we twist it. I just don't think you're right, brother. 6:12, Proverbs 6:12, a worthless person. He's given it a value. Remember, judge the tree. Valuable or worthless? A worthless person, a wicked man walks with a perverse mouth. That means things that come out of his mouth are twisted. There is a twist to them to get something they want. I believe God wants people prosperous, but he wants them holy more than he wants them rich. Because the Bible says so many times what riches can do to us. That's why I don't care. I do not look at what you make. The only time I look at things is when it's brought up to me that somebody who says that they're tithing are not. Got them. You're a liar. The truth is not in you. You'll get free. Walks with a mouth, a perverse mouth. He winks with his eye. He shuffles his feet. He points his fingers. He's pointing at everybody else. Perversity is in his heart, where his words come from. He devises evil continually. He sows discord. Therefore, his calamity shall come suddenly. Suddenly, he shall be broken without remedy. The person who is sowing discord, let me tell you right where it starts. The first thing it is when they go after the men and women of God who are called to do what I do and others. I can't tell you the number of people who've gone off and started telling lies on me. I just quit counting. Only to find out their life, when they left out of here, their life went to pot. Suddenly he shall be broken without remedy. There's no healing for him. They can't be. Why? Because they attacked an anointing that I didn't ask for. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to him. Abomination means that which causes extreme disgust or hatred. Extreme. For me, I have a certain dislike for okra. I don't care for it. But kale is an abomination to the taste buds. You follow me? You understand? You may like kale and God bless you. I do not. God gave me taste buds so things taste good. So all those preachers, and I've heard them, you don't eat for the taste, you eat to live. Then God could have kept my taste buds and killed them all. I'll eat the bark off of a tree. But if it doesn't taste good, I'm not eating it. Why? Because my taste tells me it's not good for me. Yes, seven are an abomination. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. Remember, we got a lying tongue already. Why would they say a false witness? Because it's somebody who's supposed to be speaking the word of God and speaking the truth. Every preacher in the early church was called a witness. That's what witnessing is. Witnessing is stand up and say, let me tell you, the devil kicked my butt this week. No, witness tells of the good things of God. It brings no acknowledgement to what the enemy has done. And one, remember what number seven, here's number seven. And one who sows discord among the brethren. They tie in. I think the six and seven are right there for a reason, because they are so close. I've heard people argue the point. You remember when Jesus laid hands on a blind man. What do you see? He said, I see people as trees. I heard one guy, I don't know why he argued this. It's moot. He saw it to the spiritual realm. I don't think he's falling to the spiritual realm, personally. He said, that's why Jesus had to pray for him the second time. Does it really matter? He still prayed for him a second time. When we argue like that, who cares? That's why Paul said, why do we argue about doubtful things? Why are we fighting about these things? Does God want to bless us? Absolutely. He most assuredly wants to bless you, but he wants your obedience. So what if God gives you $100 million? What are you going to do with it? I'm just going to hedge my bets. I'm going to invest so much. We're all going to go buy a new truck. You going to buy a new truck? Because I am. I told you a couple weeks, if I get blessed like that, there will be signs. Maybe that silver Z06 C8 Corvette in my driveway. No, actually, in my new shop. Sounds like you're just wasting it. God gave it to me where I can enjoy it too. Because the first thing it comes off of, let's say $100 million, the first thing it comes off of that, bingo, $10 million. Now here's where the perverse mind comes in. Nope, the government's taking their percentage. So I only owe that. Hogwash. What are you paying taxes on at the end of the year? This. So $10 million. Can you part with $10 million? Think about it. You got 100. You still got 90. $90 million that maybe you could take some of that and go buy some campers and go to North Carolina. Do what our government was supposed to have done. Or go down to Kentucky and West Virginia right now. Or go into the inner cities and tell them about Jesus and that there is hope. And there is a way out of drugs and prostitution. And if you can't get that, if you can't do that, you can absolutely provide for somebody to do that. I was talking to somebody on the phone Friday evening, and they said, I got your newsletter. I said, I was reading it. It says, I'm just so thrilled to see that you guys support a ministry through a Baptist church that helps people fix their cars who can't afford to. So if you ever wonder what our tithe goes to, it goes to things like that as well. Because guess what? Somebody getting to work means a lot to their family. Somebody being able to get to church. You see, there's so much more. Well, I think we need that ministry, Pastor. No. You want to help? If God's gifted you in that, let them know that you want to help. But understand this, they've got a lot of people that are mechanically inclined. And they got people whose hearts are into it. I don't want to start a clothing shelter. We support those who have them. Why do I need to start a pregnancy counseling? We support Heartbeat. Right here in our own community, people in our own church. We help with OCC, Samaritan's Purse. We support that. They're down there in Kentucky right now. See, our mission field is out there. We're supposed to be praying for our brothers and sisters in the Lord. I bless the Baptist Church and their mission. Their mission's different than mine. Proverbs 12:22 says, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. You want to be, want God to look at you and say, that's my son or daughter in whom I am well pleased. You speak truth. You speak truth. Not a lie. I've heard people, preachers in particular, and then other people who get their own little ideologies on healing. Because Isaiah 53:5 says, by his stripes they were healed. Yes, God's perfect will is that. But do you know how many times I've been praying for somebody and God told me they're going to die? Right up here. And they died. Why? because it is appointed to each man one time. I don't know why. I don't ask. It's not up to me. But if I get my faith so wrapped around the fact that somebody said, by his stripes they are healed, and why are you not healed? Why are you not well? Why did they die? We missed the point. Because I know many of you are sitting in here, and you've got family members who are fighting a fight against cancer or any other disease, and they died. But you believed. They believed. Did you ask God? But when he laid in the hospital and the doctor said he could die, I knew it wasn't his time. And I said, no, he shall live. When she was in the hospital and Jesse was in the hospital, they're going to die. Or they're going to be really sick the rest of their lives. Jesse wasn't supposed to have lungs strong enough to do anything. Oh my goodness. We got a chuckle for those of you that were at the Douglas Street building. You remember, I mean, just a tiny little section about yay wide. And in the back of it, there was this wall. And in that wall, there was the bathroom. The only bathroom we had access to. Right there. I'm preaching. Jesse's in the bathroom singing. Everybody could hear it. And I had to laugh because the doctor said he's going to be sickly the rest of his life. He wasn't supposed to play football. He wasn't supposed to join the military. He wasn't supposed to be able to sing. He was supposed to be weak. You see, the word of God can, but you have got to understand. David thought he could change the will of God by fasting and praying, even after God told him the child will die. David was condemned by what he had done. And God told him that that child is going to die. And it's because of you, David. But David thought he could change God's mind. I'll talk more about this later on. But understand something. When you pray and your prayer is in God's alignment, when your words go into God's prayer, here's God's will. This is something I missed in that, talking about that a couple weeks back, about the woman who had the vision, or she saw our prayers as lights. This, she said, there, this right here, and the angel said, that's God's will. That's what God is saying about it. And she saw all these other lights coming into it. And he said, those are your prayers. Not that they're changing God's will, but they're in alignment with God's will and they're strengthening it. You think I'm crazy? Go read about Daniel. For 21 days he fasted and he prayed. And the angel said, we've been fighting a fight for 21 days. God's will was this, but the enemy was fighting us. And your prayers just kept strengthening it. Because see, after 21 days, most of us give up. Oh, it ain't worth it. Just like the person I've told you about a while back tried tithing one time. It's not worth it. Listen, if you start a diet and you didn't lose a pound in one day, give it another day. It might just trigger. We've been trying to lose some weight. I'll just say, I can actually button both buttons. I have lost 11 pounds. I began stress eating back in September, and well, let's just say, it comes back on really quick. But you got to keep doing it, and you got to keep doing it. And it's a discipline, and you just got to keep doing it over and over and over, whether or not you lost anything. I got up yesterday morning, I'm like, the devil has gotten hold of my scales. It went the wrong way. I said, oh, but we've talked about it. We're not worrying about it. Why? Because I got up this morning and it went the other way. God's truth is a fact. That's what the word truth means. A fact or a position that is held. God's word is truth. Yes, everybody was healed. Will that healing manifest in everybody? I don't know. I asked God to heal my knee years ago. I knew it was jacked up. I mean, when your knee swells up like that and you're 19, something's wrong. Come down the road later on, get a little older, knee finally gives out, and somebody gets in office and said, hey, you accept these claims. Because I've been trying to get hold of my medical records for over 20 years. They have no idea where they are. They're supposed to be in Kansas City. Oh, they're in Cleveland. No, they're not. But God moved forward. By the way, you want to know something? My knee is paying for that truck. So when I see that truck, thank you, Lord. You didn't do that to my knee, but out of that you blessed me, and I can still get around. Now, I was taking a lot of ibuprofen every day. I mean, they told me I could go up to 2,400 milligrams. I got 800 milligram pills. They're big old horse ones. I took one every morning till about 2 weeks ago, 2.5, maybe 3 weeks ago, when I started noticing some changes and some discomfort. Turns out I had a peptic ulcer. And as I read about it, I was like, oh yeah. I knew this was a possibility. I had to cut it out. I've taken one ibuprofen in 3 weeks. I honestly can't say that my knee hurts any worse. But you see, you got to trust God. Well, you're afraid to trust God for your knee because it's paying for your truck. Absolutely not. I trust God with my house. I trust God with you. The reason I trust God is because I've paid my dues. And my challenge to you is to trust Him. Speak His words. Speak the truth. I'm going to have to wrap up there because I went long. But your stomach already told you that, didn't it? But we're going to continue talking about speech, our speaking, and the importance of our words. Not just from, well, blabbing, grabbing. I'm not talking about that garbage. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Just name it and claim it. Oh, Lord, I thank you for that C8 Corvette. That's mine in Jesus' name. Okay, the one I looked at was 2 years old, and it was $125,000. Used. And the salesman had already told me he had had it up to 199 miles an hour at Indy Speedway. And he showed me the video. Oh. Okay, so you can't trust God for $125,000. No. It gets 4 miles to the gallon. Would I have one? Yeah, if I got the money to keep filling it up, yeah. And the money to pay the insurance. Because I'm sure somewhere along they're going to go back and they're going to look for my closest ticket, which was just a couple years ago in her car, her hot rod. Hot Rod Honda. It was me. But my point being, we're going to talk about this stuff. Because I'm not trying to twist you out of a blessing. I'm telling you to always trust God in everything. If God calls you to do something, you do it. God tells you to build a little house or to pay somebody to build a little house for down there, you do it. Trust Him. Oh, but Pastor, you don't know. We're believing for our own house. What better seed could you sow? When we were in North Carolina, second closing, a call went out in our church. from a visiting pastor. He said, I want 30 people to bless your pastor. Okay? I want you to give $1,000. I made $700 a month before taxes. Didn't have a whole lot. And I sat there, and I was in the sound booth, and I'm sitting there, and I'm trying not to look at Angela. Trying not, because I'm like, she hears a seed. I'm like, I know what our checking account says. We're usually down to about $5 at the end of the, by the time we get to the payday. I'm sitting on my hands, and God's up there. Come on, boy. Come on. Start. And he got down. He says, I'm at 29. I got one more. One more. I'm sitting there, and this other guy, Bill, he lives actually south of Columbus now. He was a staff sergeant then. We both came around the corner at the same time. That would have been 31. Oh, that's another blessing to the pastor. He said, he looked, I'm coming from this way, and he's coming from there. He said, you, no. I'm like, crap. He's like, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to come up with $1,000. I went and sold my car. We cashed in a savings bond. And we gave our seed. Ladies and gentlemen, our sowing into our pastors blessed us so much. That's why we're here as pastors. We had no idea what we were sowing into. We just loved them. And I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just saying when God tells you what to do, you do it. I didn't do it because the man was up there compelling me to. I did it because God was back here kicking me in the seat of the pants the whole time. Because his truth was, I want to show you, I want to take you on a journey of trusting me. And that's where I want all of you to be able to trust God in anything, no matter what comes against you. Amen? Let's stand. But he's like, I've had a 3-year-old asleep on me the whole time. He's still out too. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, that your word tells us how to speak truth and not to twist it and pervert it to our own understanding, to our own divisive plans. Lord, I thank you that your word shows us how to trust you. Father, that when you say to march, we just march. That you will provide. Because that is why Jesus told the disciples, don't take a purse. Don't take a change of clothes. Because you were going to provide. And you still provide. Lord God, I thank you that as we are all growing, that our faith and trust in you is continuing to expand beyond what we ever thought it could. Now, Lord, I thank you for these people. I bless those at home, Lord. Touch their bodies, heal them, Father. And I thank you that you're touching people here today. That, Father, even in the midst of whatever they may be going through, whatever might be look like it set them aside, it is nothing but an opportunity for you to show off. Lord, I pray that you help them. Strengthen them, Lord God, as the man prayed, Lord, help my unbelief. Bless them now in Jesus' name. Amen.